place between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m.
American, the world. This is Mark Hancock's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's the 22nd of January in the year 2007. And for those of you who follow these sort of things in history, it might be well worth noting this morning that this is the 34th anniversary of the Roe versus Wade abortion decision, which has had unbelievable ramifications in our society, politically and culturally and otherwise, in these last 34 years. Certainly evidence of an activist judiciary, certainly evidence of a general direction in American society that is not what we would like to see, presumably, among the listeners of the Republic Broadcasting Network. But keep in mind that that was 34 years ago, and that decision continues to reverberate in our society, not simply in terms of the abortion issue more narrowly, but in terms of much wider issues related to the Constitution and the role of an activist judiciary, and the total confusion of the doctrine of the separation of powers between the three branches of government, not to mention the total inversion of the relationship of the federal government to the states and also the rights of the people. So that was 34 years ago. Very hard to believe that it's been that long ago that whole situation transpired with the court of Warren Burger and Harry Blackmun and so forth and so on. But suffice it to say, for those who still find themselves thinking in Republican and Democrat categories, that decision, like so many decisions that have been reached by an activist federal court, was one that was perpetrated with the help and connivance and support of some very significant nominees of Republican presidents. Number of articles to look at today in the news. There's a very fascinating story this morning being posted by the Jewish Daily Forward. The title is as follows: McCain lines up New York money men, raising pressure on Rudy Giuliani. Fascinating, isn't it, that McCain has been pushing for a wider war in the Middle East, and now we're seeing in the Jewish Daily Forward, in a post by Jennifer Siegel, that in fact McCain is very much interested in raising just that much more Jewish money for his own political activities. Arizona Senator John McCain has scored an early victory in the battle between GOP presidential frontrunners by locking up support from several New York area Republican money men, also coveted by his northeastern rival, former Big Apple Mayor Rudy Giuliani. McCain's stable of national finance co-chairs includes Louis Eisenberg, a multimillionaire financier from Rumson, New Jersey, who previously served as the finance chairman for the Republican National Committee and was a key fundraiser for former New Jersey Governor Christine Todd Whitman. According to a 140-page memo leaked to the New York Daily News and published earlier this week, Eisenberg's name, along with that of fellow Jewish financier and McCain supporter Henry Kravis, was originally included on a, quote, prospective leadership, unquote, list drafted by the Giuliani campaign. The disclosure of the former mayor's campaign plan, which acknowledges the concern that Giuliani might drop out of the race due to potentially insurmountable personal and political vulnerabilities, has underscored his scramble for some of the same deep-pocketed donors recruited by McCain. The New York area Republicans are, quote, moderate in their approach to things. They are not big radical ideologues, and they're not the guy. Who are these guys going to go to? Either they go to Giuliani or they go to McCain, said David Twersky, Director of International Affairs for the American Jewish Congress. Twersky, a longtime observer of Garden State affairs and former editor of the New Jersey Jewish News, added, quote, this is a very good sign for McCain that he is getting Republican establishment moderates, unquote. Mr. McCain wants a wider war. So does the Jewish lobby. The money men are at work, and so the drumbeats of war continue as we move toward a preemptive attack on Iran. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be joined at 8 a.m. by Charlotte Iserby, an educational expert with past ties to the Reagan administration. Stay tuned.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network at right after 8 o'clock this morning. We're going to be joined by Charlotte Iserby, who is an educational expert. I'll say more about her when I introduce her around 8 o'clock this morning. But she has a very fascinating background and is considered to be one of the leading experts in history in regard to the Sovietization of American education. And in regard to something called outcome-based education, we'll talk more specifically about what that is, what has been going on in the American educational establishment for a very long period of time, what the fruits of those labors have been in terms of the forces of evil, and how all of that seems to be dovetailing today into an educational system whose primary emphasis is not the teaching of content, the teaching of competency in specific academic areas, that is oriented toward teaching a total allegiance to the state and, in more recent times, the New World Order. So that will be Charlotte Iserby coming on shortly after 8 o'clock this morning on Mark Dankoff's America to discuss some of those issues going back many decades in American history, but also talking about the recent ramifications of some of these things in regard to the commitment of so many people in our society to a basic statism, a statism which dovetails in terms of the ideology of those who want to take this country to war in the interest of central bankers and the Israeli lobby and oil consortiums and all of the other usual players. And this gets back again to this article by Jennifer Seeger in the Jewish Daily Forward, which we were taking a look at before the break, talking about John McCain. Isn't it fascinating that Mr. McCain has been beating the drums for a much wider war for a longer period of time than probably anybody else out there in the current American political scene in the last 6 or 7 years? And, of course, now it comes out that he, in fact, is being heavily courted by Jewish financial interests. And according to the Jewish Daily Forward, hardly a quote-unquote anti-Semitic publication, Mr. McCain's fingerprints are all over the Jewish lobby and the Jewish lobbies all over Mr. McCain. His heavily Jewish finance committee, quoting again the Jewish Daily Forward, these are not my words, these are their words, includes the aforementioned individual by the name of Mark Kravis, and then it goes on to discuss Mark Brocksmeyer, a Long Island real estate magnate, Dr. Ben Chowaki, the president of the New Jersey-based pro-Israel political action committee, NORPAC, and Barbara Sobel, whose husband, entrepreneur Clifford Sobel, is a major GOP fundraiser who was appointed by President Bush as ambassador to the Netherlands and later Brazil. According to Chowaki, members of the New York Area Finance Committee have pledged to raise a minimum of $50,000 each for McCain. He said that he had personally approached the campaign with an offer of support based on his concern about the situation in the Middle East. Quote, the 800-pound gorilla in the room right now is Iran, unquote, Chouaki told the Jewish Daily Forward. Quote, you have the president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who represents the first country in the world to openly state, quote, we intend to get nuclear weapons and we intend to commit genocide, unquote. I'll step in with an editorial remark at this point, breaking away from the text of the Jewish Daily Forward. When did Mahmoud Ahmadinejad ever make that statement that Iran intended to commit genocide? Paul Craig Roberts has already shown how his alleged remark about Israel being wiped off the map was taken completely out of historical and linguistic context and was given a spin in the Jewish-oriented news media that was not intended at all by Ahmadinejad. Now we have Chouaki here indicating to the Jewish Daily Forward that Iran has stated that it intends to commit genocide. This is an immense threat to the United States, Chouaki is continuing now, and this is an immense threat to Israel. So who are you going to support? For me, the person that is most capable, most experienced, most courageous to defend our country would be John McCain, unquote. For several years, McCain, who has been calling for more American troops to be sent to Iraq, has developed strong ties with neoconservatives in Washington, sharing their hawkish, and I'm adding Jewish, voices on several key fronts. In recent weeks, McCain has been signaling that an attention to Jewish issues will remain on his agenda as his campaign moves forward. On the staffing front, the Arizona senator has recruited Jay Zeidman, former White House liaison to the Jewish community, to help with finance and fundraising operations as well as with Jewish outreach. Zeidman's father is Houston Republican Fred Zeidman, who is chairman of the United States Holocaust Memorial Council. Sound familiar, folks? And one of Bush's closest donors. According to two Republican sources, the senior Zeidman has not ruled out throwing his weight behind Romney. Quote, I think a lot of the smart money is going to go Mitt's way because they feel that Giuliani is unelectable and McCain is going to have some type of problem. He'll stumble or his age will be an issue and people don't trust him ideologically, unquote, one Republican operative said. I'll intervene again editorially and say, who would trust any of these people ideologically? But back to the Jewish Daily Forward text, which says that in December 10th, at Yeshiva University, or Yeshiva University, McCain said that withdrawing American troops from Iraq precipitously is, quote, to risk catastrophe, unquote. leading to the possibility of a failed state in a strategic region. He also defended America's larger strategy of promoting democracy in the Middle East. 2 days later, the senator traveled to Israel as part of a week-long trip to the region. It also included stops in Kuwait, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. While in the Jewish state, McCain's delegation, which also included Senators Susan Collins, Lindsey Graham, John Thune, Mark Kirk, and Joseph Lieberman, met with a number of political leaders, including Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. While insisting that the heavy representation of Jews among McCain boosters is not based on a quote-unquote religious thing, Exploratory Committee spokesman Craig Goldman embraced the suggestion that the list reflects well on the senator's campaign. Quote, "We are honored and thrilled to have their support," Goldman said, adding that McCain is by far the front-runner for the President of the United States. "They believe in his message. They believe in what he says and what he believes in. And it doesn't hurt that he's a strong supporter of Israel as well," unquote. There you have it, folks, the inside story from the Jewish Daily Forward. That is, in fact, a December 5th post, to be specific, coming from Jennifer Siegel. Very obvious, isn't it, that McCain's recent linkage to all kinds of insane ideas for expanding this war in the Middle East are in turn linked directly to Jewish money. And the source of this, again, is not one of the so-called anti-Semitic publications. It's the Jewish Daily Forward. Check out the story there, Jennifer Siegel, on Friday, January 5th, from which I have been reading here. Quite obvious what is going on, isn't it? Quite obvious that the more ominous direction that all of this is taking, which we have been predicting for a number of years now, is just around the corner in far as its ultimate consummation. Paul Craig Roberts has a post at lewrockwell.com today, which I think bears inspection. It's entitled, "Only Impeachment. Only Impeachment Can Prevent More War." Now, everyone knows that Bush's Iraq surge will not work, says Paul Craig Roberts. Even the authors of the plan, neoconservatives Frederick Kagan and Jack Keane, have emphasized that the plan cannot work with any less than an addition of 50,000 U.S. troops committed to another 3 years of combat. Bush is only adding 40% of that number of troops, and Defense Secretary Gates speaks of the operation being over by summer's end. On January 18th, a panel of retired generals testifying on Capitol Hill slammed Bush's surge plan as a, quote, fool's errand, unquote. Even the easily bamboozled American public knows the plan will not work. Newsweek's latest poll, released January 20th, shows that only 23% of the public supports sending more troops to Iraq, and that twice as many Americans trust the Democrats in Congress than trust Bush. Majority of Americans, 54%, believe Bush to be neither honest nor ethical. The other 46% are apparently in a loony bin. And 57% believe that Bush lacks strong leadership qualities, quote-unquote. Nevertheless, Bush defended his surge plan, telling a group of TV stations last week, quote, "I believe it will work," unquote. Bush is correct that it will work, according to Paul Craig Roberts. Indeed, the surge is working. We have to be clear about how the plan works. It does not mean that 21,500 more U.S. troops will bring order and stability to Iraq. The surge is working because it is deflecting attention from the Bush regime's real game plan. I'll reread that sentence from Robert's article again. I underscored it this morning at 3 a.m. The surge is working because it is deflecting attention from the Bush regime's real game plan. The real game plan is to orchestrate a war with Iran and to initiate wider conflict in the Middle East before public and military pressure forces the Bush regime to withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq. Two U.S. carrier attack groups have been deployed to the Persian Gulf. U.S. missile systems are being sent to oil-producing countries to counter any incoming missiles from Iran, should any survive the U.S. attack. Israeli pilots have been training for an attack on Iran. U.S. war doctrine has been changed to permit preemptive nuclear attack on non-nuclear countries. U.S. attack aircraft have been deployed at bases in Turkey. We will be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can give me a call at 1-800-313-9443. We'll be joined by Charlotte Iserby shortly after 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Stay tuned.
since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Matson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jog, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to be joined at shortly after 8 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, by a very fascinating woman by the name of Charlotte Iserby. Her name is actually spelled I-S-E-R-B-Y-T. That's I-S-E-R-B-Y-T, but it is pronounced Iserby, and you can find her website this morning at DeliberateDumbingDown.com. She also has another one, AmericanDeception.com, but DeliberateDumbingDown.com is going to be the basis for most of our discussion later this morning. And as I will indicate when I introduce her at 8 o'clock, she served as a senior policy advisor in the Office of Educational Research and Improvement in the U.S. Department of Education during the first Reagan administration, where she blew the whistle on a major technology initiative that would control curriculum in America's classrooms. She's a former school board director in Camden, Maine, and was co-founder and research analyst of Guardians of Education for Maine from 1978 to 2000. She's also served in the American Red Cross on Guam and Japan during the Korean War, and in the United States Foreign Service in Belgium and in the Republic of South Africa. Iserby is a speaker and a writer. She's best known for her 1985 booklet, Back to Basics Reform or Outcome-Based Education, Skinnerian International Curriculum. And her 1989 pamphlet is entitled Soviets in the Classroom, America's Latest Education Fad, which covered the details of the U.S.-Soviet and Carnegie-Soviet education agreements, which remain in effect to this day. So we will be going over some of that again at shortly after 8 o'clock this morning. But that's the guest that we have lined up, and I think it's important to see in this whole area of education that we're talking about a system that is primarily oriented toward indoctrination, assimilation into the assumptions of statism, the assumptions of the New World Order. And when you look at how advanced this has been for decades in the American educational system, it's interesting to see where it has now taken us in these very draconian and very dark days, leading up to who knows what in the next 12 months in regard to all kinds of dreadful things going on domestically in the country, as well as clearly what is happening internationally, and what quite obviously by now should be seen as a full movement toward war on the part of the Bush administration and the neoconservatives and the Jewish lobby, and certainly the government of Israel. Tomorrow on this show, I'm going to have a fellow by the name of Jim Condit, C-O-N-D-I-T. Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross was telling me some days ago that Jim has recently been on Mike Piper's show on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm going to have him on tomorrow to discuss a number of things related to American culture and related to what happened in the Roman Catholic Church in the days leading up to Vatican II, and what role was played in that whole situation by Zionist forces. Jim Condit is a very fascinating guy, and I think you will enjoy that show tomorrow, and I plan on learning as much as any of the listeners in regard to many of the things that were going on between, say, 1958 and 1962, which led up to Vatican II, and the way in which that situation has had an impact not simply on Roman Catholics, but on all kinds of people worldwide in a variety of different cultures, because the Roman Catholic Church, it can be argued, was targeted by forces who wanted to destroy its cultural influence, its cultural impact in the United States and in other countries for purposes that were not discernible by the average person in the late 1950s and early 1960s. A lot of folks still don't get it in regard to what was going on at that time. And Jim Condit tomorrow hopefully is going to enlighten us in regard to who and what was behind all of this and what it means for our present and for our future. Wednesday the 24th, which is 2 days from today, I have two individuals on the show in different time slots. These fellows are world-renowned figures. I think you're going to enjoy them, regardless of what you think of their particular perspective. The first is Dilip Hiro, H-I-R-O. If you have not read The Iranian Labyrinth, I strongly urge you to do so. I think it's one of the two finest books I've ever read in the English language related to Iranian culture and history and the past and present political scene in that country. He's going to be on, however, not to discuss The Iranian Labyrinth, although we will be talking about Iran from time to time on that show, but he has a new book entitled Blood of the Earth, The Battle for the World's Vanishing Oil Resources. This book arrived at my home just 2 or 3 days ago. I'm trying to get through the 400-page manuscript so that I can ask Dilip some relatively intelligent questions on my own behalf and on behalf of the listeners to this broadcast. But he's going to come here at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. He's going to be with us from 7 to 8 for 1 hour to discuss this book and to discuss where our present policy seems to be headed in regard to an impending war with Iran. That's going to be Wednesday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. with Dilip Hiro, the author of Blood of the Earth, The Battle for the World's Vanishing Oil Resources. And then we'll be joined from 9 to 10 o'clock that morning by Michael Chosudovsky of the Center for Research on Globalization. I'll say a little bit more about Dr. Chosudovsky when I return. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, and the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to be joined this morning, probably after the first commercial break, after the 8 o'clock hour, by Charlotte Iserby, who is an educational expert, a past official of the first Reagan administration. She's going to be on to discuss the, among other things, the Sovietization of American education, and specifically something called outcome-based education, what it is, what its ideological presuppositions are, how advanced some of these ideas are in the American educational establishment, and what it means in terms of the passivity of the public in regard to a whole series of measures domestically and internationally that have created, in my judgment, an absolutely draconian situation that very few people seem to be onto. And it's to the credit of the listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network that obviously you folks are onto it because you're listening to this network and to all kinds of shows on this network on a regular basis, reading publications like the American Free Press, and coming to grips with exactly what is going on to the extent that we now know it. And it's a very frightening picture. But unfortunately, the majority of the public is more concerned with the outcome of the Super Bowl, after watching the AFC and NFC title games yesterday, and who's going to win the NBA championship this spring, and who the entrance will be into the American World Series come October. This is the way it is, folks. I think very, very few people really understand the extent to which our lives are going to change forever, and probably in the next 12 months or less, on the basis of some of the things emanating out of world capitals, specifically Washington and Tel Aviv and Tehran. So keep an eye on all of this in the days that are ahead. I wanted to say a little bit more about Dilip Hero, my guest for Wednesday morning, my first guest for Wednesday morning, and also Dr. Michael Chasadovsky. Dilip Hero, again, if you're not familiar with him, he is one of the leading Middle Eastern scholars in the entire world. That is not an overstatement. He has written, I think, as of this latest publication, approximately 25 incredible academic works of nonfiction dealing almost exclusively with the Middle East. And then I think he's written about five things that deal with fiction, specifically in at least three cases with play manuscripts that he has authored. But his book, his 1991 book, The Longest War, The Iran-Iraq Military Conflict, is considered to be the leading volume ever written in the English language on the history and the dynamics of the Iran-Iraq War between 1980 and 1988. Again, as I have mentioned before, his book, The Iranian Labyrinth, which came out 2 years ago in 2005, journeys through theocratic Iran and its furies, is one of the two finest books in the English language I have ever read on the subject of Iran. And now he comes to us with his new book, which I trust will be a bestseller based on all the other ones. It is entitled Blood of the Earth, The Battle for the World's Vanishing Oil Resources. Are oil resources vanishing? That in and of itself will be a question to ask him when he comes in for the show at 7 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday the 24th. That's 7 to 8 a.m. with Dilip Hero. And however you feel about some of his views, he will definitely give us an incredible amount of data to consider. Dr. Michael Chasadovsky then will be on this show Wednesday the 24th, 2 days from now, from 9 to 10 a.m., following Dilip Hero. Dr. Michael Chasadovsky is a fascinating guy. It is not an accident that in today's article by Paul Craig Roberts, which I was taking a look at several commercial breaks ago, that Dr. Michael Chasadovsky is mentioned. If you look at his website, globalresearch.ca, you'll get an example of what I'm talking about. Dr. Chasadovsky is an economics professor at the University of Ottawa in Canada. He's also the director of something called the Center for Research on Globalization. In regard to globalization, and what it means to you and to me in regard to the economy, in regard to domestic police state measures, and an ongoing militaristic interventionist foreign policy abroad, you're likely to see a lot of things at globalresearch.ca from both the right and the left that you can agree with. And I'll tell you, this is an incredible source of information. At the same time, it's a terrifying source of information, because when you see what's there and what is there in contrast to what is not in corporate media, you'll become very aware of just exactly what kind of a game is being played and what it might mean to you and to me and to our families in the days that are ahead. So again, Wednesday morning, Dilip Hero will be with us for the first part of the show, 7 to 8 a.m., to discuss his new book, Blood of the Earth, The Battle for the World's Vanishing Oil Resources. I suspect that Dilip's past works, The Iranian Labyrinth, and also his 1991 history of the Iran-Iraq War will come into play in that discussion. And then Dr. Michael Chasadovsky will be on from 9 to 10 a.m. Wednesday to talk specifically about globalization and about what it means for us economically and politically and what is going on with Mr. Bush and his drive toward war in the Middle East. Michael Chasadovsky has several online articles, which I'll probably post this week at Breaking All the Rules News. One is the whole question of the demonization of Muslims in the quest for oil, and the more recent post that he has at globalresearch.ca deals specifically with Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney and what appears to be a drive toward a preemptive war in the Middle East, and a war that will involve, apparently, in the situation with Iran, in the employment of tactical nuclear weapons on the part of either the United States and or Israel. This is an important part of the equation, which Dr. Chasanovsky outlines for us. There has been a shift, a very dangerous shift, he and I would argue, in American military policy toward a preemptive use of tactical nuclear weapons, and that Iran is going to be, unless something happens, the apparent victim of the utilization of this doctrine for the first time in history, in a situation that did not already involve war between nation states. This is scary business, and a very responsible gentleman with an international reputation in this area is going to be on this show on the 24th from 9 to 10 a.m. To discuss the fact that this is what's going on, and unless there is a better and unforeseen turn of events, we are likely to be in very, very serious trouble in coming months. Back then to Paul Craig Roberts and his article today entitled, Only Impeachment Can Prevent More War. Dr. Roberts notes what we've already noted on this show in recent days, and that is the two U.S. carrier attack groups have been deployed to the Persian Gulf. Actually, as I understand it, according to Debka, the Israeli-affiliated news service and think tank, that is three U.S. carrier attack groups, counting the latest deployment of the USS John C. Stennis, joining the Dwight D. Eisenhower and joining the USS Kitty Hawk in the Persian Gulf region. But Dr. Roberts goes on to say that U.S. missile systems are being sent to oil-producing countries to counter any incoming missiles from Iran, should any survive the U.S. attack. Israeli pilots have been training for an attack on Iran. U.S. war doctrine has been changed to permit preemptive nuclear attack on non-nuclear countries. Dr. Chasanovsky, among other things, will address that one on Wednesday. U.S. attack aircraft have been deployed at bases in Turkey. And the next sentence is one that I want to highlight for the listeners. These are Dr. Roberts' words. A neocon admiral who attends IPAC events, that's the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, has been made commander-in-chief of U.S. forces in the Middle East. Obviously, the ground war in Iraq and Afghanistan are not the focus of the Bush regime's new military deployments. The Bush regime is focused on attacking Iran. Back to that sentence, a neocon admiral, he's speaking there of Admiral William J. Fallon, who has been SINCPAC. He has been the commander-in-chief of Pacific Forces, and that is the job that was held by John McCain's father prior to his retirement in September of 1972. That's the job that was held by Admiral Chester Nimitz of Fredericksburg, Texas, during World War II. It is that particular position that is held by someone that Dr. Roberts indicates is not simply a neoconservative, but he has been attending events sponsored by the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. That really jumped out at me this morning when I was looking at this at 3 a.m., because, of course, a number of us have been saying, in tandem with what Pat Buchanan has observed, in tandem with what Michael Chasanovsky has said, in tandem with a number of other people that are really up on this information, in terms of what it means militarily and tactically, that a Navy admiral is taking over CENTCOM. This SINCPAC admiral, William J. Fallon, is going to be taking over CENTCOM from an Army General, Abizaid, who is retiring. And CENTCOM has traditionally, of course, been headed up by an Army General who deals with the whole question of ground wars. Isn't it fascinating that as the CENTCOM General Abizaid is stepping down into retirement, that a Navy admiral is taking over that position? Navy admirals, as Pat Buchanan and Dr. Chasanovsky and others have pointed out, are known to be quite astute in terms of conducting aerial campaigns from aircraft carriers and securing sea lanes. It sounds like Admiral Fallon is coming on board at CENTCOM to do something other than to administer a ground war of counterinsurgency in Iraq. It seems to be prima facie evidence of a burgeoning conspiracy to attack Iran. No question about it that any reasonable person would seem to come to the conclusion based on the data that that's what's going to happen. But I did not know, confess I did not know, until I looked at Paul Craig Roberts' article this morning at 3 a.m. at this same Admiral William J. Fallon, the SINCPAC commander in the Pacific, about to be the commander of CENTCOM, is in who I guess as of this point is officially the commander of CENTCOM, has been attending American-Israeli Political Action Committee events. Isn't it fascinating, folks, that we're dealing with a situation where the American military supposedly is being religiously guarded against politicization? Isn't it fascinating that in so many instances when an American military officer of high rank has been associated with certain kinds of political groups and organizations and causes, that has almost uniformly resulted in some form of discipline for the particular officer in question. Those of you who have been in the military and have been involved in military culture know how strenuously that has been applied. Until, apparently, we get to the whole question of Israel, where the SINCPAC commander in the Pacific, who has now just taken over the CENTCOM command, and who presumably has been sent to CENTCOM to plan the strikes against Iran that Bush and Cheney and the neoconservatives and the Likudniks apparently have planned for the world, that this same individual has been attending, according to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, officially sponsored events of the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. Is that a politicization of the American military? I would argue that quite obviously it is. Is this an indication that the links of the Israeli lobby to the highest echelons of the American military establishment and political establishment are totally provable and totally palpable? I suggest that question is quite obviously yes in its answer. And when we look at this whole issue of what we're about to do in the Middle East, is this truly justifiable in terms of international law? Is this constitutional? Is this advisable? Is this moral? Is this something that is preventable with any degree of statesmanship and diplomacy being involved? Or is this something that the government of Israel, and specifically Benjamin Netanyahu, have decided that they want to happen at all costs? And so they have not only bought our politicians, but have an inordinate, inadvisable and illegal relationship to top-ranking members of the American military. I suggest that the question of why the SINCPAC commander in the Pacific, who is now taking over the CENTCOM command, and who is presumably putting together the tactics to implement what quite clearly is a war strategy, a preemptive war strategy with Iran being pushed by both Washington and Tel Aviv, why he is putting in appearances at gatherings that involve politics and that involve the political machinations of what is obviously a foreign lobby operating on American soil, even though it has never been required to register as a foreign lobby. That's something that Dr. Hesham Talawi had talked about some days on the show, the Palestinian-American who has his television broadcast at currentissues.tv. Quite clearly, IPAC is a foreign lobby. No reasonable person who looks at what they do could say otherwise. Quite clearly, they are the most powerful lobby in the United States in terms of their impact upon all kinds of elections in this country. The money trail is palpable, folks, directly and indirectly. And now we see overt evidence that the highest echelons of the command structure of the American military have been attending some of their sponsored events. Is this an America First foreign policy? Is this a non-politicization of the American military? Is this something that's in the best interest of the American people? Let's get away from the NFC and AFC playoff results yesterday. Let's for once be less concerned about whether or not the Chicago Bears or the Indianapolis Colts wins the Super Bowl game in 2 weeks, and start thinking about World War III, because that is exactly what's around the corner, unless there's a change in course. Let's start asking some questions about this impending war. Is it truly in this country's interest? Is it something that's preventable or unpreventable? Is it something that is truly being decided by the people of this country? or by a political elite that is arrogant and not bound by the chains of the Constitution of this country, which is entirely beholden to the interest of a foreign power and a foreign lobby that have the interest of less than 1% of the American public in mind in what they're doing. That, to me, is the central core issue of the day. I continue to hit it broadcast after broadcast after broadcast because I can think of no other issue that is going to have a greater impact upon your lives who are listening to this broadcast and the lives of your children and grandchildren and to the lives of your extended family members and your closest friends and business associates than what we're speaking about here. Take a look this morning at that child that might be sitting across the table from you at breakfast. Take a look at the pictures of some of your extended family members that might be on the mantle this morning. Take a look at some of the other school kids getting on the bus to go off to school with your own kids. Are their lives worth this, folks? Give it very, very careful consideration in the days that are ahead. This is Mark Dankos of America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Shortly after 8 a.m. this morning, we will be joined by Charlotte Iserby to discuss outcome-based education. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
Back back. This is Mark Hancock's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be joined after the first commercial break after 8 a.m. this morning, Central Standard Time, by Charlotte Iserby, who is an educational expert. She's a past official of the first Reagan administration in the Department of Education. She's going to be discussing with us outcome-based education and the Sovietization of American educational institutions and what it means for you and me in the days ahead. I, frankly, have come to my own conclusions on this as one who is less informed, obviously, than Charlotte Iserby. I would suspect that when I look at the American educational establishment and what has happened to our schools, that first and foremost, our schools have become agents of socialization. Socialization in all of the ideologies of the New World Order, in the move toward globalization. Agents in the development of passivity in terms of the inability to think and ruling out of bounds certain topics of conversation that would contradict and combat what these paid agents of education are in fact trying to do at the behest of others. Unfortunately, I think this educational infiltration is working. The question is, how do we overthrow it? How do we overcome it? How do we fight back? That's going to be some of the information that I'm going to be asking Charlotte Iserby about this morning, shortly after 8 a.m., and our conversation is going to continue for the last 2 hours of the show. Back to this whole question of Paul Craig Roberts this morning. He's saying that only impeachment can prevent more war. He is focused, as I am, on the implications of the CINCPAC chief suddenly becoming the head of CENTCOM. He provides the additional ominous information that this admiral has direct links to the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. Paul Craig Roberts goes on to discuss some of the interesting military deployments that we have talked about on this show in recent days, including something that was in Counterpunch on January 16th in regard to what Colonel Sam Gardner indicates is a new group put together by George Bush, led by a National Security Council staff, whose mission is to, quote, create and foment outrage against Iran, unquote. Colonel Gardner informs us through Paul Craig Roberts this morning that we are to watch for various signs of military deployments that indicate that an imminent strike on Iran is about to happen, such as U.S. Air Force tankers being moved to unusual places like Bulgaria. Keep an eye on that. Then, of course, Paul Craig Roberts goes on to discuss all of the things that will happen domestically that will continue to foment a movement toward the complete, full-blown manifestation of an American police state. Bush will declare a state of emergency. Bush will grab more arbitrary and dictatorial powers in the name of protecting national security interests. Watch for all of those things that have already happened in the last 5 years to some extent, that will simply be exacerbated after this attack on Iran starts. And then, of course, in the very end of that article, Paul Craig Roberts indicates that Congress is wasting its time in regard to non-binding resolutions and other such nonsense, that only impeachment can stop Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney. Paul Craig Roberts says that it's America's last chance. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Charlotte Iserby when we return. Stay tuned.
Got headache?